with Jerry and Debbie and you, because you drive the show. This is where we take a fresh look at ourselves and the world around us. It's a very exciting show, very fast-paced, all because of your participation, and we're just so glad you are joining us today. Stay tuned in the entire hour and see if you learn something. See if you're a little changed, a little bit closer to God. I'm Debbie Georgiani along with Jerry Escher. And Jerry, can you tell that every time I do this show, I'm just so excited because I learn something. I walk away a little bit changed. I know you do as well because we talk after the show.
We always do. The show team, dear listeners, you would be surprised. We spend a good 5 minutes after every show just talking about the show and what a great job you all did and what we learned, and it gives us show ideas for the future and so forth. So we're asking you to take another one and hit it out of the park today. And Debbie, I think this will be something everybody can relate to. And I think it was one that I put on the calendar, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, we're asking you today, what one-time liability has now become a strength for you? Okay, look back at some point in your life and you thought, man, this sucks. I was born with club feet. You know, I ran slower than the rest of the guys on the basketball team, and I couldn't jump as high. I was made fun of. Yes, I was called two left feet a lot.
How did they know you had club feet? Didn't you have shoes on? I mean, how did they know?
It's just the way you run. If you've seen somebody who has club feet that never had them treated, they can barely walk. They walk kind of on the outer tips of their toes, and it's really, really a sad thing to see. And I hope nobody listening here has experienced that. I had some surgeries and treatments, and so I was able to walk normally. But when I ran, you could tell, and I was always, like I said, a step slower, couldn't jump as high. So I did get kind of ridiculed a little bit for that. And we're not talking about things necessarily, folks, that you got ridiculed for. But I ended up going on, Debbie, to be the outstanding senior student athlete in my high school class. And even at Franciscan University, I got the outstanding senior for co-curricular activities, which means intramural athletics and clubs and, you know, the drama and that sort of stuff. So, you know, I kind of turned it into a strength for me, and I think it just inspired me. Maybe I was an overachiever. I don't know. But we just want to hear from people, you know, if there was some time in your life and you thought you had something that was a real liability tying you down, holding you back, and now it has become something that you glorify God through, or it has become really a strength in your life.
So now I get it. Now I know why you put this on the show calendar. You just wanted to brag about your athletic abilities.
All right, so now we can talk about anything we want.
Right. Now it's an open
unscripted
forum.
Unscripted for the rest of the show.
No, but that's really good though, Jerry. That's a big accomplishment for you. I mean, I think that's excellent. I mean, to know that when you started out and being young like that and being vulnerable to other people's criticisms and stuff, and kids can be very cruel. But then you turn that into a strength. I think that is awesome. So you are asking the question today of our listeners, what one-time liability has become your strength? Now, I actually looked up liability to get some synonymous words, just because, you know, sometimes when you think of liability, you just have all these different concepts in your mind. So maybe like what one-time hindrance, or what one-time disadvantage, or what one-time obstacle or impediment or cross is now become your strength. Walk us through how you matured through that, how you utilized those things that maybe set you back to now become your greatest attribute, your greatest strength, your ability to go out there and to really be authentically you, how God created you. That's what we want to talk about today. I think it's a fascinating discussion. So here's the number, weigh in. Ryan Penny is waiting to answer your call. Don't keep him hanging on the line. Call in right now at 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Did I cover that okay, Jer?
Yeah. And this could be something physical, for example. Maybe you were born blind, or you went blind at some point in your life, unfortunately, and that seemed like a real hindrance to living your life, a liability, an obstacle. But maybe it's turned out that, you know, you're able to use your other senses more effectively, or you've simply developed a life of contemplative prayer, maybe, on behalf of other people, or you use your hands. Maybe you make things with your hands. That's one possibility there. I'm thinking, Debbie, too, of maybe you weren't real good at a particular subject in school, you know, and that was something that you looked at as maybe a negative or a liability or something that you really wanted to work on and improve. And later in life, it all of a sudden blossomed maybe and served you well professionally or personally or in a relationship or something. 833-288-3986. Debbie, every one of us has something we can point to in this topic. So I'm expecting, and the lines are filling up right now too, I see.
Well, okay, so you didn't ask me like you never do, but I'll just answer anyway.
So Debbie, what one-time liability has become a strength for you?
Thank you, Jerry, for asking. Okay, so I've talked about this before. I was very, very shy as a child. Very shy. I used to hide behind my mother's, at the grocery store, my mother used to kind of peel me off of her, I'll never forget it, off of her right leg. I'd hide behind her because the checkout lady would always say, oh, your daughter's got the biggest brown eyes and the curliest hair. And I just hated it. And so I would hide behind my mother and she would peel me off of her and she'd say thank you to the nice lady. And I'd have to say thank you, you know. And I was so shy. But you know, I think how that has helped me become a strength and a quality that I actually can tap into is the fact that I do think I'm a good listener, and I do think I can relate to other people when they have those same reserved senses about themselves. Like my husband, Marty, he's very reserved, and I think I can relate very well and I can understand. So I'm able to bring out the best in other people because I have been there. And so, it's interesting. I mean, you never would have guessed it that I'd, you know, be doing public speaking and teaching and working on radio and television and all that. You never would guess that knowing my childhood. So isn't that interesting how you go from one extreme all the way to the other? Like you just shared about your upbringing, Jerry. It's very interesting how that works. I wonder if God allows us to experience the flip side of things early on so that we are able to enter into our fuller mission with a more well-rounded perspective. What do you think about that, Jerry?
Well, I think it's very possible, and I think just by human nature being what it is, we are going to grow in certain areas in our lives that we may not. They don't fully blossom when we're younger. For some kids, it does. You know, you may have been just the opposite. Maybe you had a sibling, or you knew other kids who were just outgoing and just the center of attention all the time. Maybe they became a little bit more reserved later in life. But I think for every one of us, dear friends, think about this during the break here and call 833-288-3986. Again, you're not bragging on yourself. You're bragging on God. How has God taken maybe what you once thought of as a liability and turned that into a strength, not only for you, but for you to be able to bless the lives of others? We want to hear about it.
Liability has become your strength. That's what we're asking today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're getting a lot of text messages coming in saying, Jerry, that they like our banter back and forth. They didn't realize we have such a great sense of humor. We should do a whole show on that. We could go back.
I never
and forth.
Used to, you know. I was really, no, I'm kidding.
No. Is it only because I bring that out in you?
You do, yeah.
That lighthearted.
You make me feel funny.
I love it. Well, thanks you guys for that support there, that we should do a comedy act. That would be great. We could go on a Catholic comedy stage or something. Okay, can we just highlight something? Because our friend Teresa Tamio, she does a fabulous job. I can't talk today. Fabulous job on Catholic Connection, her show, Teresa Tamio, tomorrow morning, 9 Eastern time. Folks, if you have not gotten addicted in a good way to Catholic Connection, please do so. It is a fabulous show. I learned everything that's going on in this world through that show and Teresa Tamio, and she does a great job at it, and she keeps us very well informed. 9 Eastern time tomorrow.
All right, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, waiting to hear from you. We do have an open phone line if you would like to get on board talking today about what was once perhaps perceived by you as a liability in your life, and it has been turned into a strength. Maybe it was even a disappointment of some kind. You had your heart set on that dream job, and your heart was crushed when you didn't get it, and that just made you work all the harder, and then you had an amazing job, a great career. Even that, some things like that can even happen in relationships as well. So we're just talking about life situations that you took, something that was maybe a burden or an obstacle, and it became a strength and a real joy and a blessing in your life. 833-288-3986. Okay, ready?
Yep. Well, I'm ready. How about okay. Patricia, who's first up in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Patricia. Thanks for being first up and welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Patricia.
Thank you. Hi, how are you? I love your show. I find it very calming.
Thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Well, so here's something. I hope I can get through this quickly and without crying, but my mom had a horrific stroke, horrible, horrible. And, you know, all the kids came together and we took care of her. We became her caretakers, cleaning and washing and feeding for 4 years. And I know it was the one thing she always said, don't leave me, you know, in this horrible condition. And it was honestly one of the best gifts she ever gave me, because it taught me that I can actually, you know, like put my hands on a person to care for them. I think the way Jesus would heal people. And when she passed, I knew I had this newfound gift, sort of, that I had always had but never knew I had it. And I became friendly with somebody wheelchair bound who was out on the streets, and I bring him lunch every day and we sit and talk. And I help him, you know, fix his hat or fix his sunglasses or feed him because he doesn't have the use of his hands. And it just, it never would have happened if not for my mom's horrible stroke. And that horrible thing that she went through has changed my life, honestly. Mm-hmm. And it was such a gift to me. So that's my story.
Wow, Patricia. I your mom, obviously, she passed, correct? Your mom passed?
She did, yep.
Are you able to give us her first name so we can enter her into the book? So we'd love to celebrate her life as well.
Thank you, Mary.
Mary, oh, love it. Okay, so Patricia, yeah, of course, Mary. It's a beautiful name. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm a caregiver, and so is my husband right now for my mom. And I will tell you that it's a very interesting position to be put in, because you're absolutely correct. I can totally relate to everything you have stated about your situation. You didn't realize you had those abilities. You didn't realize you could connect on a soul-to-soul level. See, I'm going to get emotional here because you know exactly where I'm going. You know exactly where I'm going with this, Patricia. We can get to that deep part of that other human being that we are ministering to. And you know what? I believe that is Jesus. That is when we are being like Jesus, the best way we know how. And I think it is a beautiful thing. When some people hear about that they have to be a caregiver, they go, oh my goodness, I don't have the time. I can't do it. I don't have the skills, right?
Exactly. I don't have the skills. It's not who I am.
Mm-hmm. But look what it did to you. It opened up your spirit, your heart, and now you are ministering to that other individual that you sit with every day. And see, that's going to benefit you. Those are the wonderful seeds you are planting for your eternal salvation. It is an amazing gift. People don't realize it. Every time people in this world see a problem, they see it as the problem. They don't see it as an opportunity. And you went through your experience with your mother, and it turned out to be a blessed opportunity for you. And I'm hopefully for your other family members as well. What do you think, Jerry?
No, I agree. And I've experienced the same thing, which I've shared on the program before. When I did my summer in a hospital as a seminarian, as a clinical pastoral education, I didn't think that I had any kind of a gift, you know, for just being with people and, mm-hmm. and ministering to them in those situations. It's uncomfortable. You know, you don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. And the Lord really just led me. And I grew through that so much, even so much now that I'm, as you may know, Patricia, I've just started a few weeks ago as a chaplain's assistant, volunteer chaplain's assistant at a local hospital. So who knows what you could parlay your experience into, Patricia, right. But what a beautiful story. What else do you want to share about that?
I just want to say one more thing. I'm trying to take the opportunity to now tell people at work, and again, it's not bragging about myself, but when they see me at lunchtime, spending my lunch with this person, they see me outside of my office and they say, hey, I saw you. Well, you know what? This is my chance to tell them that they could do that too. And mm-hmm. just looking for the opportunities to bring Jesus out there. So yeah. Anyway, thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
Patricia, here's something. This is just, I just want to put this out there real quickly. Mother Teresa, remember when Mother Teresa was ministering in the poorest of the poor areas of India? People would say, Mother, why are you picking up these people that are sick and diseased? And she said, That's Jesus. That's all you have to do is say to your coworkers, I'm sitting with Jesus. I mean, look how, right, Patricia? We've got to change the mindset.
I'm gonna say it.
in people. Yeah, try it. See what happens. I mean, they might think you're, you know, they might say, what happened to Patricia? But they'll understand it after a while, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Oh, all right. God
Thanks,
bless
Patricia.
You. Yes.
Or they'll say, that doesn't look like any of the pictures I've ever seen of Jesus.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying, Jerry? Yeah, right. Because that's what Mother Teresa, she was constantly,
exactly.
They were asked about that. And she said, you have to look at those through other people through the eyes of faith and see Jesus in every single person you encounter.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I love Patricia's call.
833-288-3986. What was one time looked upon by you as a liability, a hindrance, something that might hold you back in life that became a strength for you? I'm thinking, for example, Debbie, you know, maybe there was a time in your life, somebody listening, that, you know, you didn't manage money well. You got into financial difficulties, into debt and so forth, and that caused you to have to learn better discipline and money management. And now you do that very, very well. Maybe you help other people manage their money now. See, that's the kind of thing, how God works things out. And I'm thinking, too, Debbie, of the late, wonderful Cardinal Francis George of Chicago. He was born with polio.
That's right.
And that did not hold him back. In fact, it probably inspired him in life, and he went on to become a prince of the church. You know, a cardinal in the Catholic Church, died a beautiful, holy death in the Archdiocese of Chicago. So, friends, it could be just about anything. So, 833-288-3986 and share your story.
You know who's a hero of mine, and I know it's yours as well? Al Cresta.
Yes, yes.
Okay? He's awesome. Mm-hmm. He is such a strong man, and what he does for all of us, and, you know, he's amazing. So, Al, if you're listening, we just love you. We absolutely love you. Do you want to share a little?
Well, yeah, Al, it's been about 15, 20 years ago. Al had that flesh-eating disease in one of his legs and actually was given last rites in the hospital and should have died, and prayers from around the world and the grace of God kept him with us. And now, Al, he is missing one leg, spends a lot of time in a wheelchair, but you would never know it. You listen to his show, you see him, you greet him, he's happy. And so, a great experience.
Him.
All right, let's go to Brian in Mineola, Minnesota, I think, listening on EWTN Online to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Brian. Is it Mineola or Minneota?
Minneota.
Yeah. Minneota. Okay, good to have you with us. How are you?
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So I guess I just wanted to share that I've got a son that was born with a coarctation of his aorta, and during the operation to repair that, he suffered some nerve damage, and as a result, you know, he gets around on forearm crutches and a wheelchair. And from my perspective as being his parent, to be able to watch all the trials that he went through, and to see how God affected other people in his life, it was a trial for us too, to see him struggle with those trials. And I had a lot of questions for God in the process, and prayed an awful lot and wondered what his plan was. But he is currently, I should know this exactly. I think he's 30 years old this year now. But he's married, and we have a beautiful granddaughter. And when you think through the whole process of all the different steps that he went through, and to be able to look now at how God's plan has come to fruition, to see how things have all come about, and to think about our beautiful little granddaughter, that if he hadn't gone through all those trials and all the steps hadn't taken place, you know, we wouldn't have our beautiful little granddaughter, Clara. So.
Yeah, and Brian, you mentioned he's about 30 years old, and you mentioned his story. I would say he's young. His story is just getting started, really, just beginning to unfold. And there's so many things I could comment on here. First, I would say, you know, God, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but God will allow something like this in the lives of those he knows are going to be strong enough by his grace to be able to deal with this, not only deal with it, but thrive in circumstances like that. But it wasn't just your son, Brian. It was you, it was your wife, it was your family. You said you had a lot of struggles with that. But see, God chose you as his parents because he knew you would be the perfect ones to be able to help him make something beautiful out of this. So I think that's absolutely fantastic. And look at the inspiration that he's going to be for his granddaughter and perhaps other children going forward. You know, Debbie, these kids are going to grow up, and they are going to have both of their parents are going to be their heroes. But they're going to look at their daddy and say, "If he can do that, boy, what can't I do in life?" You know,
exactly.
So look at all the good that's going to come out of this.
Yeah, your son is obviously an inspiration to all that he meets, and that's an amazing thing, Brian. And I share what Jerry was saying. You know, his story is still unfolding in a beautiful way. Look, you have your granddaughter, I think you said Claire is her name. What a beautiful name. And it reminds me, Jerry, you know this, because I just shared with Jerry this weekend this beautiful song by Stephen Curtis Chapman called Glorious Unfolding. And it talks about how we all think our life, you know, it comes to a certain point and we're like, okay, you can't get any better than this, nothing else can change, but it's always unfolding, it's always evolving because of our belief in our Lord and Savior. And Brian, I just wanted to say, you know, you sound like such an amazing dad, and you could hear it in your heart that you probably wanted to take away all that pain and suffering from your son, obviously as a good dad would. But you know what, look at what your son, how strong he is, and how now he can be that example for all of us to say, you know what, our story is still unfolding, and good things can come out of really hard struggles. So, Brian, is there anything else you want to share about your beautiful family that's growing, which is a wonderful thing?
Well, it's just you know, been a blessing to sit back. Like I say, there's struggles that we realize are actually blessings now. You know, and mm-hmm. and it is fantastic to see how God's plan continues to unfold.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Well, tell your son he's just awesome, and congratulations on your beautiful granddaughter, Claire. That is great. I tell you, if I knew it was going to be that good, I would have skipped over having kids and just went right to being a grandparent.
Thanks, Brian. God bless you all. What an inspiration. Thanks for sharing mm-hmm. that. Kathy, we're going to go to Kathy next in Salem, Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. Thanks so much for your show. It's a blessing, definitely.
Thank you.
Just quickly, because I'm actually going to be going to see a patient, I wanted to tell you a little my story about my mom. She passed away 11 years ago. She was 62 years old, and we had all been away from the church, including my mom. My mom had come back to the church about 4 years before she died, and she really came back, and she actually was, my sister and I believe, one of those suffering souls. Her death was, you know, the epitome of the grace of a happy death. She loved Jesus and Mary so much, and she brought my sister and I completely back to the church, like over the top, before and through her death. And when we would look at her and we'd say, Mom, you know, because she was such a young woman and beautiful, my gosh. You know, how do you do it? And she'd go, how do I do it? She'd look up at the cross and say, look what he did for me. This is nothing. And so because of the beauty of her death, it brought our faith, you know, the whole thing of not wasting suffering, that was definitely my mom's. It was beautiful. It was just beautiful.
Wow.
And that's really it. I just wanted to tell you guys that.
Okay, Kathy, God bless you. Thank you so much. We're coming up on a break in about a minute. There's a couple things I would want to say, and probably Debbie as well. We know you have to go. If you need to, go ahead. If you're still on the line after this short break, we can chat with you for a minute, but it's way more important for you to get to your hospice patient. We understand that. But I just would compare this, Debbie, to my sister Mary, who, Kathy, you may or may not know, died 2 years ago, February 7th, and she had been away from the church for many, many years, and she, too, died a beautiful dignified, classy death. She never complained once. She had a rare cancer diagnosis, and in 3 months she was gone. And so I think of that as obviously a liability that was turned into a great strength, because I believe she's with the Lord now. But now as I correspond with her husband, my brother-in-law, and their two sons, Debbie, I'm hearing in their texts and in their phone calls so much movement toward God and toward the faith and spirituality and praising God and giving thanks for life and all of these things. So there's definitely a liability that became a strength. And Debbie, I know you probably want to share a couple thoughts on that too. So Kathy may not be with us on the other side of the break. But,
right. And then Kathy, if you do have to drop off, please give your mom's first name for us so we can enter into the book. When we come back, hopefully Kathy will still be on. We can talk with her. Thank you. thanks so much for being with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're talking about liabilities becoming strengths in our lives. And Kathy has another 2 minutes with us in Salem, Massachusetts. She's a hospice nurse, and she has to go, obviously, be with her patient. But Kathy, real quickly, we got your mother's name. Ryan was able to talk to you on the break. Catherine Mary is your mother's name. We put her in the book. We want to celebrate her life as well. I just wanted to say I'm sorry that you lost your mom at such a young age, 62 years old. That's very young. But, you know, I'm always going to remember, Kathy, what you shared about your mom saying, you know, looking up at what Jesus, you know, dying for us and saying, you know, don't be sad for me, what I'm going through. Look what he did for me. I'm always going to remember that. That is, you know, we have to be constantly reminded of that, because it's so easy to see images of the crucified Christ and we just think, oh, that just seems great. Yeah, that's a love gesture. No, it is everything for us. And your mother knew that, and she was able to, like you said, not to waste the suffering. It transformed her and her spiritual life and helped you, and I think you said your sister. So I just wanted to say, way to go on your family story. And I love the fact that you're a hospice nurse. You know how I feel about nurses. I think there's going to be a special place for them in heaven. But Kathy, real quickly, I know you got to go. Anything else? Did we kind of capture that the right way?
You sure did. Yeah, there's such merit in suffering. If you can, you know, I can't promise that I can do it, but you know, in offering it to Jesus, and you know, I think of that often in my job, and it helps me to do what I do.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Really.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, we know you got to go do that right now, Kathy. So you go with our prayers and the global Take Two with Jerry and Debbie family, praying for you, for your important work, because we know that God is doing miracles one way or another through you and your colleagues in hospice. Yeah, so thank you, Kathy, for sharing that with us today.
God bless.
God bless you. What one-time liability, hindrance, obstacle, maybe disappointment in your life has turned into a strength or something that you're now very, very grateful for, that God has used for you or for the benefit of others? 833-288-3986. You know, as
social media. Okay.
Well, you know, the previous caller who had the son in the wheelchair, was that Brian?
Yes, that was Brian.
Brian. Mm-hmm. You know who that made me think of? Mm. Tony Melendez.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Most of our listeners are probably aware of who Tony Melendez is. He was born with no arms and no legs. I mean, no arms. I'm sorry, he has legs.
And great musical artist.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because his mother took, it was a thalidomide. It was a drug that was given to mothers, expectant mothers sometimes back then. And he's probably, what, 50-ish by now?
Yeah, I would think so. But I haven't seen anything. Have you seen anything?
I haven't seen anything recently, but yeah, he's a Catholic singer and songwriter and recording mm-hmm. artist who was born with no arms because of that drug that was administered to his mom. And he plays the guitar with his feet, and he's mm-hmm. got an amazing singing voice, and he was really put on the map. Remember, was it, I think, World Youth Day in 1993, Pope John Paul II?
John Paul.
Mm-hmm. It was at Denver, yeah. And he played for the Pope, and the Pope went up, Tony, Tony, and kissed him on the cheek.
Yeah.
And that was all it took for Tony's career to take off, but it probably would have anyway because he was very talented. So.
Oh, yeah. Pretty amazing. Do we have any social media coming in or any emails coming in? Do we have anything?
I have to look here.
You have to look? Okay, I'm just making sure because I'm... what we're asking today is, what liability has become your strength? So if you have plenty of time to weigh in to see if there's something that you want to share with the Take Two family, we'd love to hear from you at 833-288-3986. And yes, there is an email. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, we have our dear friend Helen, who lives in Paradise in Idaho on a farm with horses and absolute God's most incredible beauty all around her. And Helen writes today, "Hi, I love the topic and I'm thinking about my answer. I realize I have had many turnarounds. I think every turnaround I have had is due to becoming Catholic and understanding where I need to change. One thing for sure, I didn't used to be very sincere or compassionate to others. After living many decades with suffering and trials, I realize how each and every person is in the image of God, and each and every person needs sincere prayer and forgiveness. God's mercy has touched my life, and now I understand the value of it in every life. So I'm able to extend that mercy also. Thanks, Helen in Idaho." Thanks.
I love
Thank
Helen.
You, Helen, for that.
Yeah. Thank you, Helen. Thank you so much. Okay, Susan is ready, and she's wants to share what liability has become her strength in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, on Real Presence Radio. Hi, Susan. Thanks for waiting, and welcome.
Hi, thank you. December 20th, I lost my fiance, and I was his personal caregiver at home. He was Special Forces in the United States Military Army, and he was a wonderful man. I went to church with my family on Christmas Eve. We went to the children's service at St. Francis Xavier in Brighton, Wisconsin, and I promised my mother I would go back to church, and since his death, I've turned it around and I've gone back to church.
Wow, Susan.
Praise God. Go ahead, Deb.
We're so sorry for your loss. I mean, you're still you're totally in the midst of the grieving process, because it takes a while. I mean, and you were so close to him and you were his caregiver. I mean, are you able to give us his first name so we can put him in our book?
Yes,
and
his first name was Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L.
I love that
And he
name.
Was Catholic. Mm-hmm. We were both raised, and we were both from the Cook County. We were both born in Cook County, Chicago. I found out from his birth certificate. But he was my guy I waited all my life for. And I was the woman his dreams. And I miss him every day. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting stronger. Wow. And it's better. It's very hard when you love somebody, and it's the love that brings you back to God. It definitely is the love. And in fact, the gospel on Sunday was about Peter and Simon throwing out the nets, and that we as people of God need to pull in people instead of fish. And I went to the grocery store and I saw this woman struggling. And I knew her. I'm a public librarian, and I pulled the car over, and I said, can I give you a ride somewhere? It had started to snow, and she had packages from the grocery store. And she said, sure, I'm just past the school. So I pulled the car up, and she got in the car, and she started to tell me how she was recovering from shoulder surgery, and she just lost her dad. My dad will be gone 6 years, the 22nd of this month. But I pulled the people in. I went out of my comfort zone. I gave this woman a ride home, and she said, thank you. And I pulled the car around in this apartment complex, and I see a black Kia, and Mike drove a red Kia. And I said, God, I hope I'm being a disciple and doing the right thing. And I cried all the way home Sunday. But wow. This woman, it's just, she's up against it. She's poor. She lives in an apartment. She doesn't have a vehicle. And the Sunday before, I thought I saw her on the road walking to town, and it looked like she had fallen and bumped her knee, and I wanted to turn around, but traffic was going both ways, and I couldn't. So I had my opportunity. God gave me another shot at it on Sunday, and I just felt better about the fact that I casted out my net and I helped this person.
Yes. Susan, you can see in just a short time how the impact of Michael's death has really made you, I mean, it has expanded your heart unbelievably, and I'm sure you already had a very, very generous heart, but look at what God is now doing in and through you. And if I can just go back to one thing you said, you know, Michael was the man you waited your entire life for. Well, guess what, Susan? You're the woman he waited his entire life for. God knew he was going to pass at this time in his life, and so God had prepared you for that. So Michael, in a sense, in a very real sense, you were the woman he was waiting for all of his life, and God had the perfect person, you, Susan, right by his side to help escort him into eternal life. And now the blessings are still flowing through you, and I hope and pray that you feel, at least spiritually, as close to Michael as you ever did while you were here on earth. Because, Debbie, we know that's possible once we've lost a loved one.
Susan, how do you feel about what Jerry said? Because I totally agree with everything he said. I thought it was so beautifully delivered to you and from his heart to yours.
No, it's a wonderful thing. You're right. I'm that kind of a person. I'm trying to turn this whole situation around for a good purpose. And it's hard to go to work every day and you cry, and then you have to put on your professionalism and mm-hmm. go into work and be somebody else. But my heart is broken, and Valentine's Day is coming up. And I happened to find a Valentine's card that Mike had given me, and it said, you are the woman of my dreams. And it went on and on. Mm-hmm. And it made me cry. So I got out a candle and I lit a candle and I said a prayer.
Well, that's That's beautiful, and that's a great way to continue to celebrate the love that you two had. But you know, here's the thing, Susan. Please take time to cultivate and nurture a relationship with your guardian angel. Because the reason why I say that is that's the reason I believe our great God gave us the gift of our guardian angels, because he knew we were going to feel alone at times. He knew that people that we love on this earth were going to leave us. He knew that, and he wanted us to always have a special spirit to be with us all the days of our life, you know. And the angels, they know us so well, and they're rooting for us, and they want us to continue on and to be joyful. And it's just a beautiful relationship you can have with your guardian angel, in the sense that I believe your guardian angel will comfort you and help you and allow certain things to happen for you that will remind you of the great love you shared with Michael. I don't know if you've cultivated your relationship with your angel, but I hope you do, Susan. Have you? I'm just curious.
Yes, I feel like somebody's looking over my shoulder and watching over me. Yes, I believe I have.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, let your angel comfort you. That's what they're there for. They're there to help you. And it's a beautiful thing. So I know I use my angel. I count on my angel all the time to get me through everything, Susan. So I know you do as well, Jerry, right?
I don't think using the word use is inappropriate, because they want to be utilized. They want to be put to use to help us. So Susan, thank you for your call.
Thank you, Susan.
Beautiful contribution to our show about liabilities early in life or sometime in life that become strengths for us later. And Mary is next in Peoria, Illinois, listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on St. Bernadette Radio. Hi, Mary. Welcome from Peoria.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi,
right,
Mary.
Ahead,
hello.
Mary. Nope, the show's not over. Go ahead, Mary.
When I was a young girl, 14, I had a hump on my back, and they called it scoliosis when I got to the osteopath my aunt told my mom and dad to take me to, because my left arm was going limp periodically. And then I'd drop everything. And my folks thought I was just being careless, but then my dad saw it happen. I was carrying plates over to the sink to do the dishes for my chore that day, and he watched as my arm fell to my side and the plates crashed on the floor. And he said, "Mother, you got to come out here." So she came, and they talked, and they got me in to see the doctor. And he was working with a doctor at a osteopathic hospital in Missouri on a program to try to develop exercises to help people with scoliosis to help straighten their spine. And I got started on the exercises every day several times, and then I had to go into him, and he would do adjustments. But after 4 years, my back was straightened, and I no longer had a problem with my leg. And when I was in 1976, I started lifting weights, and I'm doing it till today. And I lift them 3 days a week at a gym. And then in 1996, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And my doctor told me, "Don't ever stop doing the weights, but I want you in the pool at least 2 days a week exercising." So I did that. And I'm 79 now, and I don't have problems like that. And I exercise every day. And I just thank God, because if it weren't for his inspiring my folks to do this back when I was 14, who knows what my situation would be today if I hadn't gotten that help.
Yeah, that's amazing, Mary. You know, Mary, let me share something, though. You put the work into it, though, you know, with the exercises and everything. I mean, scoliosis is
absolutely.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. Would you agree with this statement, Mary, that we said at the beginning of the show, that when we have these things that come up, these obstacles in our life, you know, we must look for the people, the opportunities. People need to be open to the promptings of the Spirit to help others, which is in your case. And, you know, there's ways to grow and learn and work through things, that these things could end up becoming our strengths, can become the triumph that we need. But we have to be open to it and aware of it. If we close ourselves off and just say, oh, okay, you know, that person's the, you know, they're not going to be, they can't be helped, or, you know, I can't step out and help them or whatever, you know, we're missing these really enormous possibilities for growth in our own spiritual lives and for others to grow spiritually and physically and emotionally and mentally and physically. It's amazing, Mary. Tell me if you, I mean, in all you've been through, okay, you've witnessed that, you've learned that. What can you say to others?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I encourage people all the time to get active.
Mm-hmm.
They have to move, and they're the only ones who can do it. Nobody can do those things for them. Nobody can do what I have to do to for me. I have to get out there, and I have to do the work myself.
Right.
Because otherwise, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
That's right.
And God has given me this desire and love of doing it, so that I've been doing it all these years, and I don't ever want to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Well, yeah, we build up the muscles of our will, so to speak, Mary, and you absolutely did that. And thanks be to God. What a beautiful, beautiful journey that you've been on. And we're so glad that you were able to share it with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and all of our global audience. Mary, thank you so much from Peoria for joining us. We hope that you'll remain a listener and call the program again sometime very soon. Before we get to our next call, Debbie, just got to, you know, Lent is coming up. It's March 6th, I believe, is Ash Wednesday. And EWTN Publishing has two new works just in time for Lent. So, dear listeners, please pay attention here just for a second. We know you're glued to every word of the program, but pay extra close attention right now, because we want you to have these resources to make it a wonderful, wonderful Lent. Two new books you can order from EWTN Publishing. One is Making a Holy Lent, 40 Meditations to Prepare You for the Church's Holiest Season by Father William Casey. Calls us to ponder the reality of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers. And Father Wade Menezes has the other one. It's The Four Last Things, a Catechetical Guide to Death, Judgment, Heaven, and Hell. And Debbie, as you know, the great spiritual writers tell us we should meditate on those every day. It's only by rightly understanding these four last things that you'll be sure to think calmly and wisely when life's difficulties threaten to overwhelm you. And both of these, Making a Holy Lent and The Four Last Things, are available now in the religious catalog, EWTNRC.com.
I love it. This is awesome. I can't believe Lent is right around the corner. Here we go. Another Lent. Lent is not my best season, I have to tell you, but okay. I need these resources. Lexi's up next in Pell City, Alabama, listening online and EWTN online. Hi, Lexi. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. So what's your story?
I'm glad you have found me.
The what? I'm sorry. What did you say?
I'm glad to have found you. I've been in Pell City all my life. I converted to Catholicism about 15 years ago, and I've only recently started listening to EWTN, and I'm loving it.
Wow, thank you. That's awesome. Well, we're glad you called in. So I'm sure you have a story to share with us, and we're listening intently because we learned from you, Lexi. If you haven't listened to the show, you are the teacher right now.
Well, it's a pretty amazing story. God has, you can almost see him physically moving and arranging things in my life. I was a very physical person. I was a karate instructor and very full of myself and very, not vain, but just egotistical, very self-centric kind of person. And I had lost 2 babies and been told that I would never conceive, and I became pregnant at 32, and of course I was beyond thrilled, but within a month I started having problems,
and I ended up on bed rest and had what my obstetrician called the pregnancy from hell. I was on bed rest for 5.5 months, and I was only pregnant for 7. My baby came at 7 months. He's 22 now and is the love of my life. He's absolutely perfect. No problems. God just, he protected both of us through all these horrible things that there were just little tiny miracles along every step of the way. If this hadn't been right there, it would have cost us our lives. I had a placental abruption, which is a life-threatening thing for baby and mama. And it happened that my doctor was one floor down, and I was at the hospital, and I had talked about leaving the hospital just a couple hours before then because I really couldn't afford to be there. And that has happened. And we found out that all of the problems were related to a connective tissue disorder that is a genetic defect. And since then, I've had over 25 surgeries. And I have learned to just turn loose of everything and cling to the robes of Jesus. I see myself like the woman in the crowd. I cling to the hem of his robes and hang on. And he has held up me and our family, and you can see his hand in every way. But I never would have gotten to here. I never would have lost the self-centric life. I never would have found him if he had not shaken up my world so drastically.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this, Lexi. It sounds like an amazing story, and it sounds like somebody, maybe a little puppy or something there, is confirming, praising God and rejoicing at everything that you're saying. Beautiful to hear that in the background. But wow, you have been through a lot. And the key is, you said, you know, God brought you through these things. And I know we all know from personal experience, Debbie, when we're in the midst of something really challenging, really dark, seems almost hopeless, the only thing we can do is turn to God and trust that he is going to help us. If it's his will, we pray for his will to be done. And thanks be to God, this was the outcome. And as Lexi said, her son now is just the absolute love of her life. You know, what a beautiful outcome from what could have been, you know, could have turned out a lot differently.
Well, yeah, and I just wanted to share real quickly, Lexi, all you've been through, all these surgeries, everything you've been through in life, and you started off the call saying you were very egocentric, you know, and into yourself and everything, and now you have shed that, now you have mastered that, you have gone beyond that. You're blessed because I think we all struggle with this idea that the whole world revolves around us and it's all about us. I mean, that's what the whole New Age movement is all about. But Lexi, you have gone well beyond that. So you're able to share with others the things that you've learned and how you've grown and the blessings you've obtained because you have shed that from you. Please continue to share your story with everybody you meet. You just did on a global audience. That's awesome. Awesome. But Lexi, keep telling your story because others need to hear this. God bless you. You're a strong, strong lady and you sound like a great mom, and your son is very blessed to have you.
Thank you, Lexi, for the call. And boy, this is the time of the show that Debbie and I, there's only one part of the show we don't like, and that's the end.
The clock goes fast.
You have done a fantastic job again. So please forgive us, Jose and Sharon and Tim, Timoteo, Carmen, Melissa. You're all there on the line, and when we have our next unscripted show, you're welcome to call in. And
I was just going to share, Jerry, can we do a part two? I mean, we have texts coming in like crazy on this. This was a great topic.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'd love to get
to Melissa and Carmen and Jose.
You've
can
just
we
made
invite...
an executive decision.
I did on the air.
You
I
did?
That was, yeah. Does
yeah,
it
see,
stand?
Debbie does this all the time. See, she asks me on the air, so I can't say no.
Exactly. Exactly. So Jose
right,
and
yeah,
Carmen and Tim and Sharon and Melissa and everybody else, how about tomorrow? Can you call back tomorrow? Ryan, you're going to have to make notes because they get to the top of the line. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and we can see briefly just little snippets of what you're going to call about, and these are absolutely, I mean, these are fantastic calls, and they relate so well to the topic. So, yeah, why not? Let's do part two tomorrow of what was once a liability has become a strength for you. So please, Jose, Sharon, Timoteo, Carmen, Melissa, if any of you can call back tomorrow, just identify yourself as having been on the line at the end of the show today, and we'll try and get you right up to the front of the line. So.
Yeah, because I'm just learning so much, Jerry, and I just know that if I'm absorbing it, you're absorbing it, hopefully our wonderful Take-Two family is absorbing these great stories as well. And so these are life-changing stories, Jerry. This is huge. My takeaway is, you know, you got to work hard at things. You do. You have to work hard at things. You have to see the opportunities, and you have to be open to the Spirit when God can use you in great ways to help other souls. I go back to Mary in Peoria, Illinois. You know, you got to work hard at things. You do, but there's benefits to that. Right, Jer?
Absolutely. So we're going to do part two on this tomorrow. And part two of me is coming up today at 6 Eastern time.
Jerry's
6
everywhere.
To 8 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to be filling in for Cy Kellett on Catholic Answers Live. And my good longtime friend Jimmy Akin will be on the show for 2 hours answering your apologetics questions. It's an open forum Q&A on Tuesday. Catholic Answers Live with me, Jerry Usher, at 6 p.m. Eastern time this evening.
Sweet. We'll all be tuned in. That's just wonderful, Jerry. So, folks, we're doing the part two on what one-time liability has become your strength. Think about it tonight. Call in tomorrow, and let's have a grand conclusion to this wonderful conversation. So this is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And until tomorrow, we want to wish you a beautiful and blessed day. See you real soon.